بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you very much, JazakAllah Khair, for again inviting me to this, I think, incredibly important occasion, happens every year, which helps in many ways to unite and to bring us together, the Muslims and the organizations that are active here, particularly in the West, but also internationally, giving us a chance to think together and to plan, inshallah. And Allah is the best of planners. And certainly no one would have guessed how strong, mashallah, this organization would have become from its early days, perhaps. But now the strength of the Muslim community growing up in the West is incredibly challenging and deserves a lot of thought and consideration as to how to progress. And I think that's why I enjoyed this particular subject, because Mecca and Medina, of course, represent the progress that happens once Islam arrives and takes root. But there are a lot of lessons to be learnt. And we hope, inshallah, that this will provide food for thought and for action, inshallah. And of course, food for not just thought, but iman, as has been mentioned, because without which, there is no Islam. Just taking a personal view of, you know, the relativity of Mecca and Medina to, for instance, a person like myself, who came to Islam somewhere around, I don't know, the middle of my life, but Allah knows, but after, you know, having lived some time and experienced perhaps the kind of life, the happiness, the lost, you know, that market community which has lost its happiness, which is mentioned, being part of that and then coming to Islam by reading the Quran, I thank Allah for giving me that opportunity. Perhaps others embrace Islam in different ways, meeting a Muslim, you know, I don't know, eating a curry, I wouldn't think so, but there are many ways, you know, marrying. But my evolution of faith began very simply by the Quranic revelation. Although it was in English, and possibly it was not a very good translation, but nevertheless, the power and impact of that message, muhkamat, you know, those verses which are muhkamat, quite clear and decisive, changed my life. When you look at, let's say, taking my example again, the first thing that happened was for me to get in contact with the message of Islam, and through a medium which was the book. And then begins the process of evaluation, analysis. As I began to read the Quran, it became very clear, very soon, that this was not just like any other religion. Something unique, and yet something so personal and already familiar. Strange sensations ran through my mind, through my heart. So then, of course, comes what I didn't know, of course, when you're reading the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. You know, gotta be careful. Shaitan's gonna try and come from this side, that side, say, hey, look, this is silly. Chopping hands? I'm reading the oneness of Allah. No doubt there's no problem with that. Even reading the names of some of the prophets, which I already knew, no problem with that. But now all these other things, start thinking, hang on, this sounds a bit strange. In our day and age. So questioning happened. But through that questioning, and through the very experience of reading the Quran, which is unlike any other book, and as has been mentioned at the very beginning by Dr. Jamal Badawi in referring to Brother Quran Murad, may Allah bless him, an interactive scripture. You can't read the Quran and not make a radical decision, either to go with it or against it. And I'm afraid, but alhamdulillah, for those who are guided, alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha wama kunna linahtadi lawlan an hadana Allah. Praise be to Allah who has guided us to that. But look, even in American perception today, nobody wants to be a loser. Nobody wants to be a loser. It's all by default that they would end up in that position, but they would never wish. And so the Quran says, and whoever seeks a religion other than this, surrender to the One and the God of all the prophets and of all mankind and of all the world, then he is a loser. Statements in the Quran which just woke me up, and which finally I could not do anything but accept. And so then comes the stage of acceptance. Alhamdulillah, from that moment began, if you like, the very simplistic and microcosm of the Meccan situation whereby I had accepted La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And the next stage was to practice the basics. Because now I was told, what do you have to do? You have to pray 5 times a day. So, right? Okay, how do we do that? And then you learn wudu and the whole procedure. Then, you learn the fasting because Ramadan is coming. And then you've got some money in a bank, you know that it's time to give zakat. Who do you give it to? Hajj comes round. You miss it the first year, say, well, I'm not going to miss it next year, I'm going to go. Because who knows how long we're going to live. By that time, start thinking about, well, hang on, where's the family? Where's my, community? Where's my real family? Marriage is half the religion. In comes marriage. So these were kind of gradual evolutionary steps, which just on a microcosm level, you can see, what's the Meccan, situation? Well, of course, many people are already married, but I'm just giving you an idea of how it affected, how the faith, developed. Then came one of, I suppose, the biggest problems that we face, which is organization. Organization. And of course we know from Islamic history, we read it all the time, that after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Khalifa. Very simple. However, life is not so simple today because there is no Khalifa. And so then we are faced with the problem of organization. But, on my micro level, first thing that was bothering me, birth of my first child. What to do? Everybody's talking about Islam, giving the whole message. The khutbah is great, but where's the mechanism? And I've heard this great khutbah about the school and the need for education, and schools bring up our choices. Great, great. I put my money down on the table. 3 months later, nothing. I said, no. Let's do something. And we had some kind of, group of us that we knew each other in the mosque. We started to call together all the parents who had the same vision, and alhamdulillah, we began our school. in a way, what you're looking at is again the wonderful system of Islam. It is farz ain. In other words, you must learn what you have to do individually to save yourself from the fire. Then you must move in at some point to farz kifaya. You have to organize yourself to deal with those things which the community essentially needs. And we're looking at Mecca and Medina. It is, you know, I'm just giving a contemporary view of how we have to relate. When I first started understanding that there was more than one school of thought, that was a great crisis for me. Because I had read the Quran, I had read the words, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُ شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. We have made you one middle nation that you may be witnesses amongst mankind. Now I said, well, hang on. Where is this? Ummatan wasatan. I know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is watching, or not watching, but he will be there. Is the shaheed will be witness over what we do. But where is the Muslim community as shuhada? And so, it seemed to me, it was a great problem. But certainly not insurmountable, but certainly a great problem. And so I discovered, great, we have so many nationalities, so many madahib, poor, we're rich. No, we're poor. Where's that oneness? We go to Hajj, we tend to experience it. But then we end up in our little camps. And in the end, we find that there's a struggle, pushing to get to the black stone. Where's taqwa? How come we forget everything we read in the Quran? As has been said, without iman, without the base, strongly built, we're like that. And so when our young children are born into this confusion, no wonder they start wearing, you know, Walkmans and and their baseball caps turned the other way because which way to walk? So just to give you some thought, perhaps not to take too long because this is not the time to go into detail. But certainly, it is the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we must be holding on to. It is the unity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Imam that we must be holding on to. Everyone else is dispensable. Not that the great luminary scholars of Islam should be forgotten, but in the end, it says in the Quran, if you dispute, then return to Allah and His Prophet, because indeed it is all there. It is all there. And that is, again, reflecting what has been mentioned by Dr. Muzammal, the seerah. How wide in expanse, a perfect example. But if we have a group simply saying, we must take this section of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and upon this Islam is built, let us remember the whole of his life. And the stages which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through in order to establish and to show us the perfect deen. That means study. It means fiqh. It means understanding, and fiqh is not a list of rules. Let me tell you one of the greatest shocks I ever had in my life. When I attached myself to one particular group, and we were traveling around, blah, blah, and we were doing some kind of thing, and in the end, somebody said, read this. And I read this book. There was a whole list of like thousands of this you do, this you do, this you do, this you do, 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 do. Or this you don't do, this you don't do, this you don't do. And there was no reference to any shape, to any methodology, to any, you know, practical development, curriculum, where we know who is an infant, we know who is, you know, a junior, we know who is a high school student, nothing like that, everything at once. My God, I'll never be able to practice all this. And so you have to start step by step. And Allah is most merciful. Allah knows your intention. And at certain times when you find that things are getting difficult, return to Allah and His Prophet. Return to Allah and His Prophet. As Imam Malik said, you know, you can accept or reject the word of any, I'm paraphrasing, you can accept or reject the word of any man, except this one, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whenever there is a problem, and there may be differences of opinion, these are allowed, and there is no problem in that. There are going to be those who have to specialize in politics, those who have to specialize in economics, those who have to specialize in conventions, those who have to specialize in education. There's got to be, because that is the Ummah. But finally, our love for each other must develop. That is sweetness of faith. We must accept and tolerate differences of views which are based on allowable areas of difference. Of course, not on Iman. And this is where I think some scholars should take heed. Not to imply that if you don't follow their particular fiqh, that you are not on Iman. That is a crucial point which scholars, I would think, would have understood and should understand. When it is a matter of Iman, it is clear. When it is a matter of fiqh, you know the Prophet ﷺ, how many times when there was people praying one direction, people praying another direction, they came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, I was praying this way, he was praying this way, who was right? He said, you're all right. You're all right. Your intention was to pray, you did your best, you made your ijtihad, don't worry. When they came on Hajj and they said, I forgot to do this. He said, no problem, do it now. This is the Prophet ﷺ. Let us follow him, inshallah. Let us follow Allah's book. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.